I was right here on this side and on this side. If you're a kid, just get in the aisle there and look at me for a minute, okay? I want to give you something. It's kind of a prize. So if you're a kid, just get in the aisle where you can see me wherever you want. If you want to come up in front, that's okay. I don't mind. Just do it quickly. Quickly. This is something that a friend of mine used to tell me, when you do this, it's like putting gold nuggets in your pocket. So this gold nugget's going to go in your heart, boys and girls. Listen to me. Who knows the Bible verse, Hebrews 13:6? Okay, so you probably know it once I say it, but I want you to memorize it today, okay? Hebrews 13:6 goes like this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday and today and forever. You got it? Now you say it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's see if we can say it all together. Here we go. Jesus Christ, the same. Wait a minute. It's yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, say that. Yesterday, today, and forever. Say that. Okay, now we're going to say it all the way through. Jesus Christ, the same today and forever. See, you got it. Now let's do it one more time. I'll let you go, okay? But you got a nugget now. You can put this in your pocket. The address is Hebrews 13:8. Did I say 6 a while ago? Hebrews 13:8. If I say it wrong, you guys help me out. Jesus Christ is always the same, all right? So we're going to say that together. Okay, stand up with me. Now turn and face. Who's listening to you? Turn and look out that way. Ah, now it's a little more channeling. Here we go. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Thank you, guys, for saying that. Go with Connie now. God bless you. And we love you for your hard labor. Put that in your pocket and keep it, okay? Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to look quickly in God's Word today, and if you want to go ahead and turn with me to Philippians, you see that in your Bible while you're turning to Philippians. I just want to tell you something. One trait of a really great person is that he's willing to take the lower place. You ever was really tired, you didn't feel good, maybe you was hurt or injured, you went in a room and there's like three or four chairs, and all of them was very comfortable but one. And the only one left when you got there was the old hard wooden chair, right? The really neat person is the one that'll take the lower position. It's just someone that you look up to. They're just special. I want to talk to you about that. Before we do, I want to pray with you. And I'm going to read these Bible verses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. There's someone on my heart. I'm going to ask you to pray for them. And that's Miss Ruby McLean and Jim McLean. She's in the hospital, not doing too good. And I want to ask you to let her church family lift that family up at this time. Will you do that with me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Ruby McLean, a member of this church, and her husband, Deacon. They're just special people. And they need you right now more than ever. And we as their family and their friends need to lift them up to you and ask you to bless her in her situation, her health condition. But please be with them, Lord, and just lift them up gently in your arms and your care and love them. And may they feel the love of this, your church, this morning at the hospital. So bless them good, Lord. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me do that with you. So if you would, turn in your Bible to Philippians. And I got to look up myself. I lost my place. Philippians chapter 2. If you remember last time I got to share with you guys, we talked about something really important. And that's through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in His Word. And I want to encourage you to do that forever, if you would. Today, I want to talk to you pretty much about the same thing. This is the second chapter of Philippians. You know that Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's writing to the church there in Philippians. And you'd think he would be sad or disappointed or discouraged, disappointed some way. But he's encouraging his friends in Philippi. He's not even thinking about himself. He's thinking about them, and he's seeing some things that, and heard some things. They sent a friend from Philippi to see him, and he gave him some information. That was the best text message they could get in that day. They had to send a friend. But the message was there's some problems going on, and he just wants to encourage his friends. And we see that as we get started in Philippians chapter 2. So he goes on to say in Philippians chapter 1, if you recall, the latter part of that, I don't have the writing on the wall for you, but I'll just remind you, okay? He said to us in verse 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Wherever you are, I just want to hear good things, that you're standing fast in God's word. For he said, you should have the single mind. What is a single mind? The single mind is when I'm just focused on Christ. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You remember that? If you have the single mind, I'm always thinking about Christ and what a blessing it's going to be for me one day to get to heaven. I long for that. How many of you long to see heaven one day? If you are, say amen. Okay, so you longed. If you're not, just keep reading God's word. And the more you read it, the more you long to see it and be there and be a part of that. So whatever Paul says, I hear about you, my friends, I pray that you're doing great, that you will conduct yourself worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Are you living your life worthy as someone who is a member of the kingdom of heaven? Are you living your life worthy of one who has called himself an American? Are you American? You like being American? How about that? Are you? Hey, it's not a bad thing to be proud to be an American. Have you not always been proud to be an American? Did you not even send your family members? Some of you sent your children off to war for America. And we're proud to wear the name, I am an American. Some of you have been on a missionary journey and you say, I am an American. And you're proud of that wherever you go. It is okay, and you should be proud of your government. You should be proud of your country. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Maybe on purpose. But we should be proud of who we are. Are you proud to be a member of Oak Crest Baptist Church? If you are, say amen. Yes. I'm proud to be a part of this fellowship of this church. And so that's all he's saying to us. Be proud that you're a member of the fellowship of God's church. And wherever you go, you are a part and a member of the kingdom of heaven. And for that, you should be proud. I am a member of God's family. Yes, and I am already a part of God's kingdom. And I'm going to heaven one day, and I'm already a part of that. How did I get to be a part of that? I'm so glad you asked. Because I can't wait to tell you how to be a part of God's kingdom, a part of heaven already, and you're not even there yet. By simply saying, I believe that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I have to ask him, because that's why he died on the cross, to forgive me of my sins. So I ask him, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and come in my heart and live. Come in my heart and save me. John chapter 3 talks about the born-again experience, and that's exactly what that is. That's the day that you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you called on him to forgive you of your sins and come in your heart and save you. Is that a reminder to you guys? I'm sure that it is. But now God says, here's what I want you to do now that you're a born-again Christian. Just live like it. I want you to live like you're a part of the place that you're going, the kingdom of heaven. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's talking about our lives, and may we do just that. So we're going to look at these scriptures, and we'll read them as quickly as we can. You see them there on the board, Philippians chapter 2, now verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, he's saying to his friends, thank you for standing up for reading of God's word. I appreciate you doing that. Sometimes I get so anxious to read it, I forget to ask you. Out of honor and respect of God's word, that's why we stand and we ask you to do that. Brother Tony was so good to do that, and I'm sorry I get so anxious at times I forget to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. So anyhow, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, that is to respect others, see them better, others better than yourself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Please let me ask you to note in verse 3 and 4, others is the highlighted word that I want you to see. For the interest of who? For the interest of others. I want you to see that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We looked at the single mind last time I had the privilege to share in God's. Now we're going to look at the submissive mind today in these scriptures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly, verse 9, highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these scriptures. May we recess them deep in our hearts and live them. May we live with a submissive mind, putting others first. May we live our life as our example, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So bless us today to listen carefully to your word and then apply it in our life. Thank you for what awaits. What a blessed people we are to have you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Looking in these scriptures, he's writing to his friends and he says to them, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, I ask you guys this, have you ever been consoled by Christ? Have you been consoled by his word? There's consolation in Christ and he console you. And so he's just saying to them, have you ever done that? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt any comfort of love from him? Have you ever felt any comfort of love for being a part of Oak Crest Baptist Church? You ever been comforted by God's love by being a member of this church? How'd that make you feel? Have you? If any fellowship of the Spirit, have you ever felt like that God has moved you? He spoke to you and it just moved your heart. You were in his presence. You ever felt the Spirit of God's presence like that? Where it just moved you. You was reading a Bible verse and it just moved you in the Spirit. Any affection and mercy. All of these are attributes of Christ himself. They are of his church. And Paul is writing to his friends and he's saying to them, these are all in you. And I'm just encouraging you. That's a good thing. I know all this is in you. And I'm saying, it's good for me to know that. Fulfill my joy if you will do that. In Philippi, they had blessed him more than any other place he had ever been. Sent comforter to him. Helped supplies for him. So he was so blessed by the church there in Philippi. Much like people who's been blessed by Oak Crest Baptist Church, and sometimes you hear it, sometimes you don't. But these are Christian friends, and they really know the people there at Oak Crest Baptist Church. Would you brag on this church if you were somewhere else? If you're a part of the fellowship of this church, you should do that. You should feel God's presence, his Spirit, and the comfort of his love in this place. And it should bring joy to you. When you experience that and you see that, and that's all that Paul is saying. I'm in prison here, and I just knowing that brings joy to me. So fulfill my joy, verse 2, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So he's just simply saying to them, I know that there's some separations that's trying to come to the church, and I want you to beware. True spiritual unity comes from within. It's a matter of the heart. Since believers are in Christ, this should encourage us to work towards unity and love, not division and rivalry that happens in a church. Let me show you something about unity in our body, in our church, by using my hand and your hand for a minute. I want you to look at your hand. Just go ahead and look at your hand. Open it up and look at it. And look at your fingers. Now, you'll see some fingers there. One of them's taller than the rest of us. There's some guys in this church that I envy because they're so tall. I'd like to be a big, tall, handsome guy like some of these fellas. But then look at your other hand. Same hand. But there's a little short guy like me. Might call it your thumb. He's a little short fellow, okay? But I tell you what, you tall guys can't get along without us short guys. So don't you forget that. And just remember I told you that, all right? We got weak fingers on our hands. We got index fingers. They all have their job. If you don't think they do, just lose one of them for a minute and you'll know. God is given a church the same way he give to us our hands and our fingers. We need everything on that hand in order to grip and to do what the things is that you... I mean, think about what a man does with his hands. Think from the time you was a kid till today, what have you done with that hand? What have you done from the time that you became a born-again Christian in the service of your precious Lord? With these hands and with God's church, he operates. He loves you and he loves others through you. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Now, these are the words here that I want you to see as a submissive mind. That is, I'm going to put you first. If there's three chairs in the room, and there's four people, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand as long as I can. And if I can't stand any longer, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit on the floor. But I'm going to look out for you. I remember when I was a kid, my dad said, if there's an adult in the room, you better be sure that adult is sitting in the chair they choose before you sit down. And if there's no chairs, you sit on the floor. And that's the only reason I tell you that. I'm saying that Jesus teaches us to put others first. Whether wherever you are, whatever the assignment, because I'm using chairs, it doesn't matter what the assignment is. The really great person takes the lower place. And that's what we should do wherever we are. Do you know most of the problems that happen, even in churches, with friends, with neighbors, it's because of pride. And we think we know more and we are greater than someone else for the moment. And when God is telling us, watch my life. What did he show us? What position did he take in life? How much did you ever hear about Jesus owning? Far as I know, he didn't own any property. Far as I know, he didn't have a house. And best I know, he borrowed a place to meet with his disciples for the Lord's Supper. He wanted to ride a donkey, had to borrow one. Matter of fact, I heard when he died, he had to borrow a tomb. So he really didn't own much, didn't have much. And wonder why. His life was committed to others. And he is our example. And we see that in his word from almost every angle. What am I telling you? Simply this. God wants us to put others first. When you leave here today, you'll probably forget most of what I tell you. But I want you to see these verses. They're very important. And I'm going to read them again. They're found there in verse 3 and 4. Would you mind showing that? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Most of the problems come from those things. Selfish, I'm pointing to the wall, you guys, up with this one. Come from selfish ambition or conceit there. So if you think about yourself, that's where problems get in the way. But if you'll put others first, you don't know everything. But when in a conversation, you know what you do? Now, please understand, I'm talking about me more than anybody, okay? When I'm in a conversation with someone else and I want to show my intellect, I can't wait for me to be able to speak so I can show them how smart I am. And then when the conversation's over with, and it's probably in a committee meeting when I do this, and all the smart people get through talking, I say, why'd they ever say anything? Just be still a minute, and you can learn. Even if it's one person that you're talking to, maybe it's a neighbor, and you're talking about your driveway, you're talking about something in the yard, you're talking about something that can be repaired or fixed in the yard or in the car, on the car, in the house, something. Listen to what they're telling you. As a matter of fact, you could listen to some women and learn a lot about what's going on in the house and walk away a happy camper. I'm just saying, listen to what people are saying. Just be still a minute and let them speak. I'm just saying, I think you and I need to take and be still for a little bit and put other people first, wherever you are. Take the lower place. If it's a position at work, take the lower place. Somebody you love. Most of the time, it's pretty easy there. And that matter of fact, that's a good illustration. If there's a three pieces of cake in a cake pan, and there's actually four of you, who usually says, I'm not in the mood for cake? Who is it in the room that says that? That's the really special person. That's the person we're talking about. And most of the time, that's mama. For all of a sudden, mama don't have any appetite for cake, and you can hear her stomach growling. But that's what mamas do. That's the example that Christ wants us to be. Just take the lower place. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to say it over and over because that's all I got to say today, okay? Well, oh, there's really one more thing I want to tell you, but I'm going to rush to it. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, he humbled himself. He left the kingdom. He was in heaven with God, and he decided to leave the place of authority that he had. And of all places, he came here to earth and took on flesh and blood like you and I. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men. Taking on like a bondservant. He had it all. He was sitting right up there next to God. What is a higher position than that? What is even a position that I can relate to that's being right there next to God? He God himself. So how do I describe that? How can I live that? Let me show you something. I thought it was a good illustration of this. I won't pass it on to you. So it's a large bank. They got lots of responsibilities, got lots of money, a lot of workers. But it seems like there was one janitor who had to take care of a two-story building. And he worked all night to do that. And it was really hard for him. Elderly guy, way on up there, probably in 60s, you know. Still working. I'm only teasing you. 60's not old. If you think it's old, wait till you're 80. You know all about it. 60's a young man. By the way, you know what old age is? It's anyone who is 20 years older than you are. That's old age. So just relax. You're all puppies. And when you get to heaven, when you've been there 1,000 years, it's though it just begun. You're just a bunch of puppies in here. Okay, so here's the illustration I want to share with you. I'm trying to relate what Christ left when he took up this place of people to pay the sacrifice for my sins. But it reminded me of a banker and the janitor. The banker had a pair of overalls that he kept for dirty jobs he wanted to do once in a while if he was at the bank. And he saw this janitor, that janitor was just working really hard. And he went and put on them overalls that he had. He's still the banker. Still, as a matter of fact, he was a president of that bank with many staff underneath him. He didn't ask anyone else to do this. He put on them overalls and went out and got a mop bucket and began to help that janitor to do the meanly chores that he had to do to get paid. Didn't want any pay for it. He wanted to help him. I'm saying that's just a way that I can show you that Christ took on servanthood for you and I. He became the servant, the bondservant. A bondservant didn't even own the clothes that he had on. And that's what Christ was for us, very special. Let me read on with these. So he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of a cross. Humble. It's hard for us to be humble people, but that's what, no one has ever put himself down by being humble. And the people who are really humble and act like Christ, no matter where you are, who you are, people will look up to you because you're humble. How many people you really like who is in authority and likes to make you know that they're the person in authority? And that's okay to be in authority. Nothing wrong with that. It's the attitude you have when you have a place of authority. I've seen some people given some authority who are good people. But when they got that position of authority, their whole personality changed. If it's going to change you, whatever you do, make sure it humbles you. If you've been given a position of authority, let it humble you. I can look at some, I know some people at Oak Crest Baptist Church. In your job, you are in a position of authority. And you're about the sweetest persons I've ever met. And I'm proud to be your friend. But if you're a person who doesn't take the lower seat, who doesn't humble himself before others, regardless of his position, God wants us to see others as better than we are. Smarter than we are, greater than we are. When you do that, there'll be less problems. And so Paul is saying to those in Philippi, you're my friends, and I want you to know this, and I want you to represent Christ. I want you to have the attitude that you're a citizen of heaven. So have the submissive mind. Yes, have the single mind. That's very important. What is the single mind? I can't wait to get to heaven. I remember Paul telling him that last time we spoke. I can't wait to get to heaven. And he says, it's great for me if I get to leave here and go to heaven, but it's not my decision to make. That's God's decision. So while I'm here, I'm going to be a blessing to you. While I'm here, are you going to be a blessing to me? If you want to be a blessing to Brother John, if you want to be a blessing to Brother Vern or Brother Aaron or brother, new pastor, pray for him, whoever his leadership role is in this church. I mean, they stand out. Pray for them. But there are other people in this church that doing work that you don't ever see. Let me give you one. Brother Jonathan. How many of you pray for Brother Jonathan? But I tell you what, he's part of this hand. And without that man, you'd know it in a heartbeat. Oak Crest Baptist Church needs him and the ministry. It's not a glamorous position. Nobody sees him stand out. But I'll tell you what, you let him not show up for 1 week and you'd miss him. I'm just saying this. The weakest member of this church needs our prayers. So we need to pray for one another. But if you don't know that man, I'm just going to give you a personal note. You need to get to know him. He has got a heart of gold. He is so precious. And you don't even know what he goes through a week. I don't know what you go through a week. That's why we need each other. But there's precious people here in this place. Love them. Pray for them. They are part of the fellowship of this church. So we're going to love each other. And when we do, and we put others first, we'll be blessed. Let me go on to say this so I can close this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus because he was willing to take on the cross for us. He died on the cross for all of our sins. I mean, there's not anything else that you can humble yourself and do than to die for somebody in their place. And for their sins, that's as good as it gets. And that's the most you can do. Is to die for somebody. So I'm asking you, Jesus died for you. What are you willing to give him? What are you willing to sacrifice for him? What are you willing to do? Who can you help? Who needs you? Who is it around you that needs your prayers, who is around that needs you to do something before them. It's an humble task. Just go do it. It's going to take some time. You're somewhere and out in your big hurry, but all of a sudden, here's this person in your face, and you have to listen to them. And they might even ask you to do something. I watched yesterday as we was leaving, departing the men's breakfast. We had a good breakfast. But there was a man with a trailer here, and the last minute, somebody asked that man with the trailer, I need you to do something with me and for me. I could tell that he probably would like to get on to what he wanted to do, but he just ignored whatever it was he wanted to do. He took that trailer and went and done whatever his friend wanted him to do. I'm just saying, that's a submissive mind. That's taking the lower place. And there was another little job. I don't want to ignore that one. Somebody had to move a tent around, and the guys might have been in a hurry, but they went and done it. Somebody had to cook that breakfast. Somebody had to fuss over us. So go on. Let's go to the highest to die for someone else. And we sometimes wonder about the little things. Jesus died for us. Did God see that? Did God see the illustrations that I'm giving you? Did God see what you did this week? He did. I didn't. He knows what you did for someone else to be a blessing to them. So I just encourage you this way. Watch what Jesus, what happened to them. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name. Then verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What did God do for the one who took the second place in this world for us? He lifted him up and he set him in the highest place of authority. What place did he get that he didn't already have? What was the change? Jesus already had everything. The change was this. Listen, he brought you to the place where he's going to be. Because had he not died on the cross, we wouldn't be there with him. And God loves us so much. He created us to have fellowship with him. And somebody had to pay the debt so we could go there to be with him. And he asked us, be worthy of the place that you're going. Live your life. And how is that? Simply being so simple. It's not a difficult thing. Loving God, loving one another. Is that hard to do? Well, sometimes it is. But it's a task we can do. I see people get in front of my face sometimes and I'm saying, dear God, boy, is this a test? It is. And they come catered just for you. God will send a people in your face catered just for you. So don't you walk away. Don't you get angry because of who's in your face. God says, oh, my precious child, you are changing. You're changing, and this is good. And I'm just showing you. I know you're going to do better. I'm just showing you that you can. You ever said this to yourself? I can't believe I said that. Or I can't believe I didn't say this or I didn't do that. That's because God's working on you. He has always been working on you. Well, I'm going to close with this thought. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's always about giving God the glory. We must always want to do that. We must glorify him in all things. We're going to take this Lord's Supper today. And in that, we want to bring glory and honor unto him always in our life. So we're going to be there for others. Every opportunity that God gives us. And you will get one of those even today. Maybe before you leave this building, you will be able to be a blessing to someone else. But we're going to take this Lord's Supper. In order to do so, Brother John, you have an invitation hymn. As Brother John comes and leads this invitation hymn, I'm going to ask you to do this. There are some people that cannot take the Lord's Supper, and they should not take the Lord's Supper. The first one is this. The person who has never trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior should not take this Lord's Supper. It is for those who are born-again Christians who have trusted him as their Savior. And then they understand what this cup represents, what the bread and what the cup means. And secondly, this person that should not take this Lord's Supper is someone who doesn't understand what it means and is out of the will of God. They are separated from God because of sin. And so all you have to do is ask him to forgive you. If you're out of fellowship with a friend, I just say, ask God to forgive you. Get in fellowship with that friend. But don't let sin separate you from God. Don't let sin separate you from a friend. So we're going to ask you if there's something you need to pray about so you can take this supper in a worthy manner. Brother John's going to be singing a song, and as he does so, I want you to bow your head with me, and let's pray together, silently praying, asking God just for you to search your heart. And if you see anything you need to ask God to forgive you for, ask him, forgive me, Lord. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer. Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Lord, I believe you rose and live. Come in my heart and save me. That's your prayer. Now, as Brother John leads us in this invitation time, I ask you, pray with me. Brother John.